You're listening to the Ummah Network on Radio Ramadan Slam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to Ramadan Radio Slough, 87.7, sponsored by Al Mustafa Welfare Trust. You're listening to the Ummah Network show. We have our special guest on the line right now. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brother.
Please, jazakallah for being our guest today. Could you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure, yes. My name is Ali Sadımengin. I'm from Istanbul, Turkey, and I'm a member of Science Research Foundation, led by Mr. Harun Yahya.
Harun Yahya, of course. Very, very famous individual, very famous organization. I think everybody, all the listeners and nearly every Muslim that's ever been to an Islamic bookshop, been to masajid, watched any of the Muslim TV channels will be aware of Harun Yahya. But for those who possibly, let's say, they know the name but didn't read the books, or don't know, maybe have read the books but don't know much about how everything started, would you be able to give us an introduction?
Yes, sure. Harun Yahya, first of all, is a pen name used by Mr. Adnan Oktar. Mr. Adnan Oktar is a Turkish Muslim, devoted Muslim, dedicated life to spread the word of Allah, of Islam. So he started his activities from 1979 in Istanbul, and over the past more than 32 years, in fact, he published around 300 books and more than 800 different websites are using his works to spread the word of Islam, and more than 74 different languages his works are translated into different languages. So over the past 10 years, we have been lecturing around, representing Adnan Oktar all around the world, be it Islamic societies or non-Islamic societies, talking about the repetition of their evolution and the facts of creation. So very basically, these are the main ones. His books are based on science-related topics and faith-related topics. The science-related topics are based on the refutation of atheistic ideology and the refutation of Darwinism.
Of course,
there are,
there
are books related to faith-related issues about the explanation of the Holy Quran and the end times, inshallah, and many different topics. So these are the basic works of Harun Yahya.
Yeah, and in Turkey, the reason that he started, was there a lot of discussion on these topics of atheism, and that's what made him start, or was there another reason?
Of course, during the years 1979, especially, those were the time before the revolution, when the military took over on the government. That was a time where the struggle between the right and the left wings were very intense, and brothers were killing each other, and there's been a ideological domination of Darwinism and atheistic ideologies, where Darwinism was so spread in Turkey. So at that time he started by the refutation of Darwinism and atheism. So this is how it started. And he especially moved into Istanbul from Ankara, and he started to communicate Islam at the heart of the Darwinistic ideology, which is located in Istanbul Mimar Sinan University. So that was a place where the ideological leaders of Leninism and Marxism were preaching about their ideology. So he was a university student, And immediately, right away, he started to talk about the scientific invalidity of Darwinism, Marxism, and communism, and he directly starts talking about the fact of creation.
Right, and so he was basically, he started on the university campus.
Yes.
That's right. And was there any, let's say, opposition, not just from other students, but shall we say the establishment? Were they very worried at his work? Because sometimes you hear in the Muslim countries the discussion on Islam is very restricted. You can't do it openly.
So let me explain a little bit more about the circumstances that Turkish society experienced at that time. That was the time, I remember I was like 12 years old, and each and every day somebody was killing someone else, murdering in the middle of the street. It's not like something like, you know, a simple event. So those were very serious things. At least 30, 40, 50 people were slaughtered in a week. So we were reading this from the newspaper. So those were the very hard times for Turkish society. So at that time, leave alone communicating Islam and talking about Islam, it was even not possible to openly, in public, go to a mosque and pray. So because in the middle of the street, you were stopped by someone else and saying that, what is your ideology? Are you a leftist or a rightist? And depending on your question, you have a 50% chance. In the best case, they would not touch you. But if you can't give the right answer, you were immediately beaten in the middle of the street. So leave alone talking about Islam and practicing your religion. I'm not saying this. But those were the times when people were not able to talk. People were not able to defend what they think, what they believe, especially regarding Islam. So under that circumstance, that kind of circumstances, Mr. Adnan Oktar was preaching at the heart of atheism and Darwinism, which was Mimar Sinan University, which is dominated by the leaders of Marxism and Leninism, including Hilmi Yavuz at that time. Hilmi Yavuz nowadays, very surprisingly, mashallah, not surprising, it's a fact, Hilmi Yavuz, at that time, during 1980s, he was the foremost defender of Marxism and atheism, but nowadays he's a columnist writing in a right-wing newspaper, and he's now praying five times a day and writing pro-Islamic articles. So, mashallah, this is the change which we believe that Mr. Adnan Oktar caused at that time. But anyway, those were the time, you know, Muslims experience a lot of hardship. So under that kind of circumstances, Mr. Adnan Oktar started to talk about Islam, communicate Islam bravely, mashallah. He was not afraid of anyone, so he was freely talking and going and challenging, intellectually challenging the leaders of communism and Marxism.
Mashallah, mashallah. And it's with Turkey that it's so much in the news that it's always there's always big issues to do with Turkey. And over time, let's say from those early days on the university campus, how quickly did it start getting more popular? Was it a slow start? Were there a lot of obstacles, or as soon as he started, did people embrace his views?
Yes. Mr. Adnan Oktar, at the university ages, he didn't have any financial means whatsoever. Him and his mother, they were living in a 60 square meter house, and from the pocket money that he got from his mother, he was making photocopies regarding about the theory of evolution, about the recitation of the theory of evolution. So for more than 3 years, he was alone. Nobody supported his ideas. But slowly, starting from 1982 and 1983, young people started to gather around him, supporting his intellectual struggle. So this is how exactly it started. So, and of course, in time, especially after he was put into a prison, then in a mental hospital, during the years 1985 and 86. So, of course, that was very surprising, because he's one of the most Muslim, dedicated Muslim. He's very intelligent, very mature, even at those years. So everybody took this situation that he was put into a mental hospital shocked Turkey. So a great interest started to rise about him, about Mr. Brother Adnan Oktar. So everybody started to get interested in what he was doing and what he was talking about. So slowly, the numbers of the people who started to support him increased, mashallah.
MashaAllah. So, in fact, the crackdown on him had the reverse effect. So, the fact that the authorities put him in prison and tried to stop his activities, in fact, made them more popular.
Yes, definitely. Because he said a very simple sentence during an interview with a major newspaper of Turkey, Bulvar newspaper, led by Nazım Uçak. In this interview, he said that I'm from the Turkish nation and the society, the lineage of Abraham, Prophet Abraham. And just for this sentence, he was kept until in the custody for 10 months and then another 9 months in a mental hospital, accusing him for not having the mental health. Not in a good condition of mental health. So, of course, that was very interesting, because there is only one sentence that is mentioned, and nobody understood exactly why they took him into prison, and they tortured him physically as well. He didn't let them pray in the mental hospital, and he was put in the most serious cell, in which the most dangerous insane people, mentally ill people, were killing each other on a daily basis. So people was expecting that he'd been murdered in that kind of prison. But of course, everybody knew that what Brother Adnan Oktar was explaining was the haq, was the right thing from the Holy Quran. And everybody knew that he was put into prison just because he was defending the existence of Allah, and he was a person against atheism and Darwinism. This is just for this reason that some circles in Turkey, some atheist Freemasons at that time in Turkey, oppressed him in this way.
It's a fascinating story, and I'm not sure how many people know all this background. But moving on, you mentioned the Marxism and the communism. These examples. Turkey prides itself on being an ultra secular state. And do you consider secularism as part of that package of obstacles alongside atheism and Marxism and all these? Because they obviously have a problem with people coming out and openly saying, "Look, Islam is the truth, is a complete way of life." Is that something that you see as an obstacle as well?
First of all, Turkey is the majority, the great majority of Turkey, are dominatingly Muslims, good Muslims. The way they perform, the way they practice Islam, is, mashallah, one of the best all around the world, mashallah. And the position in Turkey right now, there's a laic system. The word is what is laic, coming from French language, which means that laicism is the guarantee for religion. So this is In Turkey, there is a democracy, and of course, you see the whole democracy in the Holy Quran as well. But it's not an obstacle. Let us not forget that everybody is in destiny. It is written by Allah. And inshallah, what Adnan Oktar, brother Adnan Oktar, is talking, what is going to happen in the near future, inshallah, that Turkey is going to be the leader, going to be a superpower, inshallah, in all around the world. Because he says, and this is something that we can read from the Holy Quran as well, that we need an Islamic Union. And inshallah, Turkey is going to lead that. So this is something that we understand from the hadith of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah, in the end times, we are now experiencing the end times. Inshallah, there are many signs proving that. There are many hadith that are fulfilled. They came to pass, mashallah. So we understand that there's going to be, inshallah, a golden age. Of course, there's going to be an Islamic Union, and of course, this is going to be led by Mehdi alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam. So these are the good news, inshallah, to our brothers and sisters, to everybody who listens to us. Inshallah, the current situation right now in the Islamic world, we know that there are a lot of Muslims all around the world who are oppressed. For example, there are Muslims who are suffering of hunger in Somalia, and there are many Muslims all around the world who have similar positions like this. The only solution, inshallah, lies in the Islamic Kingdom, but nothing else. Any other solutions, like, for example, temporary solutions, when you donate some money for the people who suffers from hunger, so it's going to be a temporary solution. Inshallah, the permanent one will be the Islamic Union, because you cannot financially help someone else during for his entire life. I mean, you can help them for one, twice, or at the best situation, you can help them for 20 times. But these people are suffering from hunger, and this is going to continue because they don't have the means, they don't have the economical power. But inshallah, when Islamic Union realizes that all nations, the all governments are going to be included in that, inshallah, they're going to be huge, they're going to have a huge economic power, so that there is going to be no hunger whatsoever, inshallah. Because the main reason for that is people are spending their money for weapons to kill each other. So, if I'm not mistaken, the money spent for weapons in the United States, like 3 or 5 years ago, it was something like more than $700 billion. I mean, I don't remember the number very well, but we're talking about billions of dollars who are spending to produce weapons to kill someone else in a better way. So this is, isn't it amazing? I mean, of course, amazing in the worst way. So this is shocking, because people say that, look, you know, I created a weapon that can kill 6,000 persons at a single second. And the other one says, oh, bro, what a good job, they say. The other one says, I created another weapon that can burn up some million people in a single second. And the other one says, congratulations. So this is, mashallah, by Allah's will, of course, everything is happening in destiny. But yeah, this is, devil is mocking with humanity.
Yeah, I think it's you mentioned the current situation in the world, and obviously we have the Muslims suffering in many areas. But what's your opinion on what's happening right now? Because there's uprisings going on. The latest is Libya, Syria. We've seen what's happened in Egypt and Tunisia. Yemen is still carrying on. What's your opinion on these events?
So these are the great signs for the end times, which is foretold by our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, he's talking about he was talking about the destruction of great cities, like the ones we're now talking about. So this is from Al-Muttaqi al-Hindi. In the book, Al-Burhan fi Alamat al-Mahdi, in page 38, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it, great cities will be ruined, and it will be as if they have not existed the day before. So that's the hadith was given as a sign for the end time. And there's another subject that our Prophet ﷺ was talking about. It is about the global pervasiveness of disorder and conflict. Again, in the same book, in page 12, it is related, at a time when the world would be in utter confusion and disorder, Hajj, the Arabic counterpart of the word Hajj, tribulation will appear, and then when roads will be cut, some will attack some other. So this is another hadith. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, when roads will be cut, mashallah, it is happening right now. This is fulfilled. So it's a clear sign that we're in the end times. And he stated that there's going to be a widespread slaughter, inshallah. And this is related from Al-Suyuti. Our Prophet stated that the day of judgment will not take place until these things come to pass. Death and slaughter will be widespread. So those are the signs, mashallah, that all the events that you're now talking about, what we're experiencing in North Africa, and all the uprisings, it is linked with that very miraculously, one by one. It's like a chain. It started and it is processing so fast. And in another hadith, our Prophet stated, Hazrat Mahdi will not appear until innocent people are killed. So there is a murder of innocent people. So this is something told by our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Sorry. I could just ask another question, and related to what we've come onto in the interview. We have a weekly show on Ramadan Radio on Palestine, giving the whole history, and the previous show was talking about the Ottoman Empire, and how at that time those Muslim countries, they were actually part of one state, and the breakup of that empire, which you know was in Turkey, obviously led to the problem, the occupation of Palestine. When you talk about union, are you trying to go back to that same model of us being unified under one state?
No, Ottoman Empire was in the history past. I mean, it's really in the back. Now, what Master Abdul Nasser, Brother Abdul Nasser, is talking about is a union in which all the governments are going to keep their unity, their laws within themselves. It's going to be a union of brotherhood, love, of support. It's not. It is not something like at the time of the Ottoman Empire. It's going to be much better, inshallah. This is going to be led by Hazrat Isa alayhi salam and Mehdi alayhi salam, those two personalities, by grace of Allah, these divine personalities, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, is going to send back, inshallah. And we believe that he is now in duty, and he is performing his duty and his responsibilities, inshallah, with Hazrat Mehdi alayhi salam. They're going to lead the Islamic Union. So this is very important. Ottoman Empire, it was in the past, but in their leadership, the Islam is going to dominate this love, this brotherhood, the morality, the Quranic morality, inshallah, will dominate the world.
Yeah.
So this is totally different. This is something that the world has never experienced before.
Right. I mean, I just obviously, you know, we discuss a wide range of topics on Ramadan Radio, and the history is very important and informative. A lot of Muslims don't know our history, and if we take a model even going further back to the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what he established with him being head of the state in Medina, and that state obviously grew, and we had a khilafah. I mean, isn't that a model that you think is a solution or something that we should work towards?
When we're talking about the Islamic Union, of course, this is something, this dominion of love cannot be thought without a leader. Every movement has a leader, naturally. I mean, the person who is going to be instrumental with establishing this union, inshallah, is going to be a natural leader. So this is going to be the person, and this is going to be Mahdi alayhi salam, what we understand from the hadith of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, inshallah, Mahdi alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam, they are natural, sincere Muslim people who is loved by everyone in the world. And what they say is accepted with love and respect. This is very important. So what we understand from the hadith is that at the time of Mahdi alayhi salam, not a single nose is going to bleed. There's going to be all the wild animals are going to behave in a very good manner with each other. So the environment, the circumstances in the end times is going to be unique, mashallah. There's going to be a golden age. And when the people of the book as well is going to be treated as Allah orders in the Holy Quran as well. So inshallah, we're going to experience this time very soon, inshallah. Not more than 10 years, inshallah.
Not far. 10 years is not far. So much has happened in the last 10 years. And now another 10 years. I believe that is
so
right.
Let me tell you, brother. So this is like the hard times before the birth, a beautiful birth of golden age, inshallah, led by Mahdi and Isa, you know. So the Muslims are going to, inshallah, still Muslims are being oppressed. There's several around the world, but again, inshallah, good days are in front of us.
Inshallah.
All brothers and sisters, inshallah, if we be, if we are sincere, inshallah, and we should pray for this,
inshallah.
We should pray for union. We should pray for the coming of Mahdi alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam. And let me just read you just one verse from the Holy Quran. This is Surah An-Nur, verse number 55. So this is the word of Allah. Allah has promised those of you who believe and do right action that He will make them successes in the land. MashaAllah, Allah stated here. And if we do right actions, Allah will make us successes in the land. And Allah continues, as He made those before them successes, and will firmly establish for them their religion with which He pleased, and give them in place of their fear security. So Allah says that if we have taqwa, if we sincerely do right actions, inshallah, in place of our fear, Allah will bring security, peace, and Allah will make us successors in life. And Allah continues. What do we need for that? Allah explains in this verse. They worship me, not associating anything with me. So this is what Allah wants. Allah wants us to worship Him and not associate anything with Allah. So, and who are, Allah continues, and who are unbelievers after that, such people are deviators. So this, if you analyze this verse, numerological analysis of the 55th verse of Surah An-Nur gives you the time 2013. If you analyze, He will make them successes in the land. Those 8 words, if you analyze them numerologically, his year 2013, which is very meaningful, mashallah.
Mashallah, mashallah. I wanted to go in a slightly different direction. We obviously live in a country here where the Muslims are a minority, and we are educated in a system, and our children are being educated in a system where the ideas are alternate ideas on how we came into being, how the universe came into being, are being taught as a fact. What advice would you give to the Muslims living here who have been educated in this way, and our children are being educated in this way?
First of all, we're supposed to educate ourselves about the scientific invalidity, first of all, of Darwinism. Because the UK, as you know, is the motherland of Charles Darwin and his ideas. So, mashallah, in the past, we had the chance, we had the opportunity, by Allah's will, of course, to tour around the UK to make several conferences in the major universities, including Oxford, London School of Economics, Cambridge, talking about the scientific interpretation of the theory of evolution. So, of course, in order to defend our religion and belief, first, we are supposed to be able to refute the atheistic ideologies. And when we educate our children in a country like this, and knowing the fact that there's going to be a system of brainwashing our children with the Darwinistic lies, as parents, as Muslim parents, we are supposed to know the theory of evolution, their state, and its scientific interpretation by heart. I mean, we should get informed about biology, molecular biology, about the origin of life, about how a simple cell cannot come into being by chance, about how the impossibility of forming of a protein by chance is zero, and about the fact that there are no transitional forms fossils who are proving this process of evolution. So, as parents, our first responsibility first is to educate ourselves, know that 100% this so-called scientific theory has got nothing to do with science whatsoever. It is not supported by any scientific proof nor evidence. So, experiments in the laboratory, there is nothing that supports this one, and we should be very knowledgeable about this issue. And then, of course, our children, they should know what is wrong and what is right. So when they're educated about what is wrong, we can immediately teach them what is right, inshallah. And of course, when we do it in a very simple way, it's not complicated, inshallah. It is very simple. If we explain it not more than a week, inshallah, the children will understand immediately, because this is such a big lie. They're trying to make us convinced that the fish stepped out of the water and started to walk on there, or the dinosaurs started to fly and became birds. So these are only fairy tales. Even children knows that. You know, a children who's got 10 years, 12 years will laugh at that kind of story. So it is not scientific whatsoever. Inshallah, we should get informed about it and teach our children accordingly. Inshallah.
Definitely, definitely. I just wanted to ask another question in terms of all the activities that you've had, and when you have these discussions with atheists and scientists, what kind of response would you say on the whole? Are they still quite stubborn, or have you seen very good results where people have actually totally changed their views?
Let me explain you about some of my experience. You know, it's become a tradition. When we lecture in an environment where there are like atheists and evolutionists, they're very excited when they come to the lecture. So they take notes, and they, you know, in their way, they have a face that tries to make a little bit mocking of us. But after 20 minutes, they take their head in both their hands and they start to think. And generally, they cannot wait until the end of the lecture because the ideas that we're explaining them, it is so simple that they have nothing to say. So if they're not stubborn, they understand. Subconsciously, when they go back home, they certainly understand that Allah is the creator. Because chance cannot create anything. Mutation, natural selection cannot create anything. This is something they certainly know, but they cannot accept it by words, by their mouth. But scientific evidence today clearly shows that the origin of life is so complex that it can't come into being by chance. And there is no proof of an evolutionary process in the fossil record. So this is why they're ideologically smashed down 100%. There is, so far, there hasn't been anyone who can resist to the ideas of Brother Adnan Oktar. So, mashallah, why is the reason? Because what he explained is based on the Quran, it's based on Haq, inshallah. What they defend is nothing but a lie. So it is very easy. So I have to say to our Muslim brothers and sisters that refusing Darwinism is very, very easy. There are only two main arguments. There are only two things that they cannot explain. First, it is not possible to form a protein by chance because if you want to produce a protein, you need other proteins pre-existing. You need at least 100 different types of proteins to produce another protein, which means the origination of a protein by chance is zero. And then the second one is that there is no fossil record, there is no transitional forms that proves the passage, the transition from one species into another one. So all the 350 million fossils that you find all around the world, they have complete organs, fully developed, symmetrical, perfectly formed. So these are perfect animals. And when you compare them with the living examples that we see today, there's no change at all. If you go to the website of Harun Yahya, the Atlas of Creation, so this is a very famous book, mashallah, Atlas of Creation. In this book, they can see hundreds and thousands of different pictures of fossils and their living examples. So this is what drew mad Richard Dawkins in the UK. He's gone mad because it's just a simple fact that species did not change for millions of years. You take a butterfly or a dragonfly and you see its fossil, it is 110 million years old. We're not talking about a few hundred thousand years. We're talking about hundreds of millions of years. You look at them, you compare the both, and you look, all the wings are there, all the body structures are there, the wings are symmetrical and perfectly formed, and when you compare them, no change at all. How come? So, where's the evolution? Where's the change? So when you look at the fossils, there's no evolution. There is no change whatsoever with the living species that we see all around. What we see all around us are perfect animals, fully complete, their organs, symmetrical, and fully developed, mashallah. So these simple 2 points is quite enough to refute the theory of evolution. And plus, of course, other scientific facts which creates the existence of Allah.
Jazakallah for that. Brother, unfortunately, we're running out of time. I wanted to ask you a couple more things, but for the listeners who have been very interested in what you're saying, and obviously the Harun Yahya has such a big library of reading material, if you were to recommend the first book to start with, which one would it be? You know, as a starting point.
For someone who can read about not a single book of I would recommend first to see the Atlas of Creation. Atlas of Creation is like more than 6 kilograms book. It's a huge book. It's like an encyclopedia, and it's like an intellectual bomb. See, it resists the whole of evolution, and its impact in the UK, in France, in Germany, in the United States has been overwhelming. The 80s suffered a lot. So if you go and type, if you Google the Atlas of Creation, you're going to see that all the major press media in France, they are naming the Atlas of Book like a bomb, like an earthquake. They say that it's an attack to our system of belief, they say. So this is going to collapse our ideology. This book is very important.
Yeah,
I would recommend to go and have a look, especially for the UK, because this book is quite enough to refute the revolution. And then, of course, there are many other books that, upon their interest, they can go and read many topics about the lives of our prophets, about Prophet Musa alayhi salam, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. Of course, there are different explanations about the Quran itself. There is a book which is the index of Quran. And there are other scientific books, like The Miracle in the Atom, for example, or The Miracle in the Ant, The Miracle in the Spider, or The Creation of the Universe. There are many different topics, including the problem of Palestine. The Muslims suffering all around the world, their situation, what is happening to them, or the Islamic unity, and the end times, of course. People who are interested in the end times, in the subject of coming of Mehdi Islam and Isa Islam, can't find very solid proofs from the Hadith of our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. All that he explains in his books are supported scientifically, with the Hadith and from history, inshallah.
And obviously, for further information, they can go to the main website, harunyahya.com.
Definitely, yeah. Harunyahya.com is the main site, so they can find many different links, linking to other 800-900 different websites. Okay. But the most important point is that whatever they read, whatever they download, is free of charge. It's for the dawah.
Okay, mashallah. And you are on the YouTube. Is there a YouTube channel?
Of course, yes. If they type in Harun Yahya or Adnan Oktar in YouTube, they're gonna find thousands of different videos, including documentary films, and those documentary films are in the website as well. But what I would recommend, over the past 3 years, Mr. Adnan Oktar, Brother Adnan Oktar himself, is lecturing in his own TV channel. It is Channel 9. It is called A9 in Turkey. And this broadcasting can be followed live. Every night, starting from 20:00, with UK time, for 3-4 hours, they can watch Brother Adnan Oktar live. If you go and type harunyahya.tv in their browser,
okay.
I repeat, harunyahya.tv. So they're supposed to click onto English, and there's a simultaneous translation of whatever he speaks about.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll give out all these details again on our website, ramadanradio.org.uk, and if anybody needs any further information, Go to, they can even email us, studio@ramadanradio.org.uk. But a good place to start, as we said, is the website harunyahya.com.
And moreover, they can ask personal questions to him as well. Any question that is forwarded to him by email is responded, on a momentary basis. You know, whenever somebody sends a question, he immediately responds to the question on the TV screen in his live broadcast. Inshallah.
Brother Ali, Jazakallah, it's been a pleasure. Jazakallah for being with us on this portion of the show.
Jazakallah here, and thank you very much for giving us this opportunity to talk in your radio channel. And I would like to wish a happy Ramadan, Ramadan Mubarak to all our brothers.
Khair Mubarak. Okay, brother, we will speak to you soon, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.